Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
I do commend you for what God is doing here in this congregation through your pastor and through those leaders of this congregation. I want to also just kind of share with you that you have a very interesting couple that do kayaking. Well, they, Eddie and his wife Laura, took my wife and I kayaking out there yesterday, and it was the first time that I went out there, first time my wife, but of course, my wife is brave. I mean, man, she is very adventurous. We went out to Costa Rica. She did the zip lining and all that good stuff. And so now she did the kayaking, and I was there. I mean, I got on with that kayak. Matter of fact, I even wrestled one of the alligators, and my shoes will be ready tomorrow. I'm going to have some alligator shoes. If you believe that, I've got some prime property in Arizona, Oceanside property anyway. But I'm telling you, I do appreciate Brother Eddie and Sister Laura, and for their spirit of taking us out and out in the bayou and swamps and all that good stuff. So it was really an experience. And I really enjoyed the spirit of your pastor and his wife. And, of course, this congregation has been very, very very joyful, has brought a lot of joy to our hearts, and very receptive to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I would also praise team. Thank you so much for the worship and the praise this morning. I want to commend you, because I often, as I go out preaching and being an evangelist in different congregations throughout our nation, I always notice not only the praise team, but the songs that the praise team pick out, that they sing. And every song that we were able to focus on this morning as we sang together, it was God the Father focused, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit focused. You know, today, and if we're not careful, even the songs are I-focused. I want, I this, I that, I. It's always us-focused. So to this morning, I want to commend you, because it was all God the Father focused, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit focused. And so to Him be all the honor and all the glory. Do I have my mic on pretty much? Okay. Okay, good. It is amazing that when Jesus, I want to speak to you about this morning on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, His Lordship. He is Lord of all things. He is Lord of all. He is Lord. He is the Creator. He is the giver of life. He is life. He not only gives life, but He is life. When Jesus was on the face of the earth, Jesus never had any trouble with nature. Jesus was on a boat, and there comes a tempest, there comes a storm, and by His word, He calms the storm. So Jesus never had any trouble with nature. Jesus never had any trouble with the animals. He's about ready to go into Jerusalem in the triumphant entry. And the Word of God says that he gets on a donkey. And the Word of God says that that donkey, no one had ever ridden. And so that donkey did not buck. And so Jesus never had any trouble with animals. But isn't it amazing? It is very interesting that God never had any trouble with nature. He never had any trouble with the animals, but He has a whole lot of trouble with you and me, with human beings. God created us, and yet because of our rebellion and because our disobedience, God continues to have trouble with man. And in spite of the fact that we've come to know Christ as Lord and as our Savior, we have a battle with the world and with the flesh and with the devil. And the Lordship of Jesus Christ, if we are to find, and I won't say the secret because God never keeps anything from us, but if we listen to the truth of God's Word as we begin to read God's Word, and if you're in God's Word, you'll soon find out that Jesus desires to control our life. That will help us to defeat, to be victorious over the world and over the flesh and over the devil. And so he has some problems with us as believers. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Lord Jesus came into my life, one of the things that I had to do was I had to submit to his lordship. And when I say I had to learn to submit. Because it is a process. It is a learning process. And we find that today we would call it discipleship. As we follow the Lord, we call it discipleship. And we find in Judges, I believe it's chapter 2, and we'll be using two scriptures, and Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, and I would just like to just very briefly allude to Judges, where we have where Moses dies, and you have then Joshua that takes up, and also Joshua the son of Nun. Not the son of a nun, but son of Nun. And Moses dies at 110 years old. And then the Word of God says that there arose another generation that did not know the things of God and did not know the Lord. Now notice that. There arose another generation that did not know the things of God and did not know the Lord himself. Can you imagine that a generation would not tell their children and their grandchildren that God had parted the Red Sea? That they did not know the things of God, the miracles of God, all the things of the Lord, that what God had done for Israel. They did not share with them about manna coming down from heaven when they were hungry. They didn't share with them that out of the rock there came the water. That God then placed a cloud to keep them shaded upon the journey. Now, can you imagine that your dad, your mom going through that experience, and even granddad, grandpa, and grandma going through that experience, and all of a sudden you growing up didn't know those stories? That's lack of discipleship, lack of communicating the goodness and the mercy and the love of Almighty God, the lack of discipleship. There rose another generation. And let me share with you that there is a generation today that do not know the Lord. Don't let anyone convince you that people don't need Christ. Don't let no one convince you that people don't need to hear about the Lord. There is another generation that has been listening to other voices. The voice of Gnosticism, the voice of atheism in universities. And many of our kids that come out from the church, go to a university, they come back, and all of a sudden kind of ridicule, saying, my goodness, you believe that this church still believes in God. They still believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. My question is, how deep, how in depth has been the discipleship that we have shared, that we have taught? But Jesus desires for us to be disciples, not only members of the church, but disciples. Today we must learn that there's two kingdoms. You and I once lived in the kingdom of darkness. There is the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. You and I once lived in the kingdom of darkness. But before you can have a kingdom, you've got to have a king. And the kingdom of darkness was Satan. Satan was our king. He manipulated, he dominated, he intimidated our life. And we lived in that kingdom, submitted to the lordship of the kingdom of darkness. We were lost. Matter of fact, Paul says, you not only lived in darkness, you were darkness. We were dead in trespasses and sins. You were obedient. We were obedient to the king of the kingdom of darkness. That is, we were lost. And then there is another kingdom. The other kingdom is the kingdom of light, the kingdom where Jesus Christ is king, where Jesus Christ rules. Where Satan rules, you and I lived. That's where we lived. That's where we were dominated by the powers of darkness. But then something happened to us. The day that you and I came to know Christ, it's something that took place. Paul says in Colossians that God has translated, that Jesus Christ has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into now the kingdom of light. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And now we belong to the king of the kingdom of light. That's where we belong. That's where we are. The problem is that we've not listened. When we lived in the kingdom of darkness, we were obedient. The moment we came into the kingdom of light, God begins to have trouble with you and me. Why didn't Satan have trouble with you and me when we were in his kingdom? Why was there not any haughty eyes and all these attitudes that we have in the kingdom of darkness? Why is it that he didn't have any trouble with you and me when we were in his kingdom? But the moment that the Lord Jesus Christ, through his mercy and his grace, he has translated, he's moved us into his kingdom, why does he have trouble with you and me? He didn't have any trouble with you over here. But now he's having a heap of trouble with us. Because we have not yet learned to live and to walk as children of light. You see, that's the problem with the church today. We still live like we belonged in the kingdom of darkness. And God has a lot of trouble. Over here, we would submit. Over here, it's a free-for-all. Like, man, let's have fun. There's no obedience. You get the picture? Now, what I'm sharing with you is what was shared with me when I came to know Christ. When I came to know Christ, the person who shared the Lord with me, he began to try to help me to understand that I need not be just a member of a church, but I needed to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Let's suppose we are here today. Let's suppose we're on a Carnival cruise. Let's say whatever cruise, wherever ship we're on. We're on a cruise, and all of us are not. Don't think that we are okay, but let's suppose. Let's just imagine. Okay. Let's daydream a little bit. We're on a cruise, and all of a sudden, that ship, the hull of that ship has a big hole in it. Yeah, I mean, they're large ships, and so all of a sudden, it has a hole in it, and eventually it's going to sink. And the only one that knows is the captain. The captain of that ship knows it's going to sink eventually. But we're on the ship. And so he says something like this through the intercom system. He says, ladies and gentlemen, I'm making you captain of this ship, and you can do anything you want to on this ship. You can do whatever you want to do. Somebody says, Mr. Captain, you mean to tell me that we can go into this, into the dining area and all the chandeliers that are there, we can just swing on them like monkeys? I mean, just swing? Captain says, you can do anything you want to do. You know why? Because I'm making you captain of this ship. You can do whatever you want to do. Somebody else said, Mr. Captain, you mean to tell me that we can go into the kitchen and all these pies and cakes and we can just have a free-for-all and just throw it and just have a free-for-all? He said, man, you can do anything you want to on this ship because you know what? I'm making you captain of this ship. You can do whatever you want to do. But what he doesn't share is that eventually the ship is sinking. You see, on the ship, the captain of the ship of darkness, he says, you know what? You can do whatever you want to do. You can live the way that you want to live. You can do whatever you want to. And this is why folks say, brother, is it wrong to do this? Is it wrong to do that? Man, you can do anything you want to do. You know why? Because Satan has said, you know what? I'm making you captain of your ship, and you know what? You can do whatever you want to do. But what he doesn't share with you and me is that one day our ship is going to sink. That's what he doesn't share. But then here comes another ship, and on this ship, the captain says, ladies and gentlemen, listen, your ship is sinking. You're going to perish. You're going to die. Please come over this ship. You come over this ship. Come on over. Board my ship. And we're about ready to board. And the captain of this ship says, wait a minute. Before you come on this ship, I want to tell you one thing. Just one thing. That on this ship, I'm captain, boy. You can't do what you want to do. On this ship, I'm captain. You can't live here like you're living over there. On this ship, I've got some rules. On this ship, you've got to submit to me. On this ship, you're not captain. On this ship, I'm Lord. I'm captain. That's Jesus' ship. And that's what most believers can't understand. That's the difficulty I had. That's probably the difficulty you have. When I gave my life to the Lord, I didn't know how to serve the Lord, that he was Lord of all things. I wanted to do stuff. I wanted to do things to be approved by God. There's nothing you and I can do to be approved by God. The only thing that's approved by God is when we're obedient to him, what he wants us to do. In our obedience. And so there is a difference. Listen, there is a difference between being a member and being a disciple. To be a member, listen, to be a member of a Kiwanis Club, the Lions Club, whatever club you want to be a member of, there is some requirements. Number one, attend. Number two, pay your dues. Number three, don't bring embarrassment to that club. And if you're going to be a member of a church, there's basically three requirements. Number one, attend. Number two, pay your tithe. If you can't pay your tithe, we'll go pick it up. And number three, don't bring embarrassment to the club. And here's your hat and here's your ears. Listen, folks, there's more than just being a member of a church. And there's a difference between being a member always desires to be egocentric. What can the club do for me? Very egocentric. The club. See, those that are members is what can this do for me? By giving my life to the Lord, I have really done him a big favor that I'm on his side and now he's got to do things for me. Now, we don't say it verbally, but there's attitudes. Listen, folks, there's attitudes that God now has to do something for us. And there's a difference between that member and a disciple. We must learn to live in the kingdom of light. The difference between a disciple, a member, and a disciple. A member always wants his rights. Everybody, because we're so egocentric, everybody wants rights. Everybody violated my rights. I have rights. My rights in membership, my rights to being part of, my rights. I have a right. If now I'm a citizen of heaven, you know, I have to have a right. I have a right. You see, a disciple doesn't have any rights. He's given up his rights. He's a servant. And that's what the disciples, then begin to learn. The disciples gave up their rights to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. They understood that he is Lord of all. They begin to see what he was doing. They begin to acknowledge the fact that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. My goodness, and it took a little time to be able to come to that point in their life. And so they learned that, you know what? I've got to be a servant. You know, they were called what, first of all? They were called then first disciples, and they were called apostles. And here we have them as disciples that were learners. And boy, they were like sponges, just wanting to learn. You see, a disciple learns. If you've come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, one of the characteristics of you coming to know Christ is that you start falling in love with Jesus, you start falling in love with the Word of God, and that you crave the Word of God, and that you want to learn more about your Lord. But the person that says, you know, I've come to the Lord, but you know what? I don't crave his word, and I really don't. I don't know, but it's just not part of me. Man, you're living in dangerous ground, sir. The person who has fallen in love with the Lord Jesus Christ wants to know more about his master, more about his Lord. And the more that we study his word, the more we learn about him, and the more the Holy Spirit then begins to teach us, the Holy Spirit that now lives in us begins to teach us his word, the word of God. And so we learn, they learn, the disciples immediately learn to be servants. They learn to be servants. They learn to be servants of the Lord. They learn to be servants, servant of all. The adults, they begin to be serving the older folks. They serve the younger, the old. But they were serving because they begin to learn it from Jesus. They begin to observe the life of the Lord Jesus. How he served the children. How he served all people. There was serving. I usually give this illustration. I don't have a napkin, but I'm going to use this as a napkin here. But have you ever gone? I'm sure you have gone to a restaurant. And not all restaurants do this. But the waiter or the waitress comes and has a napkin. Says, I'm going to be your servant today. I'm going to be your server today. And has a napkin right here. And that is a symbol of what? Servanthood. The disciples learned to be a servant. See, that was an attitude. See, I'm going to serve you. But a napkin can be used in two ways. As a symbol of serving, or it could be used as a symbol of serve me. I'm a member, so serve me. Come on, impress me today. Impress me this morning, Brother Pastor. Impress me, because I'm here. I'm here, you see. See, it's an attitude. A true servant serves. It's an attitude. I'll give you another illustration. Watch this. A member will look at that piece of paper right there. Won't pick it up, but he'll just walk by. You know why? Because the church hires somebody to do this. It's not my job. That's a member. A disciple sees that piece of paper. Immediately begins to serve to see what I can do. Are you getting the picture? It's an attitude. And what the church is needing more than ever today is servants, disciples. And that's why your church has these small groups. Connect with a small group. Grow in that small group. Use it as a time to win others to Christ so that you might be able to help that individual grow in his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is what happened with me. When I came to know Christ, I had to, there was five of us that gave our life to the Lord Jesus. And my friends that came to know the Lord. So en español, it was some guys, my friends. It was La Patona, El Gancho Flaco, y El Marrano. It was, those were the nicknames of the guys that gave their life to Christ with me. And they gave their life to the Lord. And my pastor said something like this. He said, okay, look, Flaca, you're going to be outside and you're going to be parking cars. And you, Gancho, mira, tú, lo que tú vas a hacer, what you're going to do, you're going to give out the bulletins. And he gave everybody something to do, and they submitted to that. And all of a sudden, I would say to my pastor, Brother Pastor, what do I do? He said, nah, not yet, Roland. Hey, brother, but you could have said algo, man. I want to do something, man. Yeah, but you're not ready, Roland. What do you mean I'm not ready? You want me to sing? Nobody knows. Forget it, man. And he didn't allow me to sing. And one day I said, Brother Pastor, why is it that you don't allow me to do this, man? And he said, look, Roland, you may not know this, but let me just share this with you. You asked, and here it goes. He said, you have problems with authority. That's the reason you were kicked out of school. You rebelled against your mom and dad at home, and you have a problem with authority. And if I were to ask you to do something that you don't want to do, like to do, not that you can't do, you'll rebel against it. And I said, no, I won't, no, I won't, I won't rebel. Yo me estaba rebelando, bro. And then one day he said, oh, okay, I think you're ready. I'm going to give you something to do. Oh, really, bro? ¿Qué voy a hacer? Am I going to park some cars? What am I going to do? No, no, no. Mira, let me tell you what you're going to do. Me dio un cepillo. He gave me a brush, and then he gave me some Ajax. He said, what you're going to do, bro, all you're going to do is clean the restrooms. I got offended. And my pastor said, you see there? Te aguitates, brother? You see there? I told you you were going to get offended. Told you you're not going to do it. See, you're not. You have a problem with authority, man. I said, well, give me the brush. Give me the. And so what I did was I began to clean the restrooms. And man, get down on my knees like that, clean the toilet bowl and everything. And my pastor would go by. And he says, así me gusta que esté de rodillas. And he'd go by, you know. But what he was doing, he was breaking me. And God was using his life. You see, we don't like broken things. When we get a present and we open it up and it's broken, we say, ah, hombre, me dio una mugre quebrada. It's broken, you know. It's a broken stuff that it gave me. But the only thing that God uses is broken people. Amen. And if you're not broken, then you know what? Everything you're going to do it a las malas. Or you're going to do it with grudging. You're going to do it by griping. You're going to do it because, oh, man, I'm going to do it. But, man, it's always me doing this. Nobody stays around to clean up anything. Nobody does anything. See? You think you're the only one. See, it's all about attitude. And this is what the church has not learned through the years. I had to learn. I'm still in the process. There's a lot of things that I'm learning. I've had to learn. In my own personal life, is the Lordship of Christ. Who is my Lord? Who, first of all, called me? Who saved me? He did, all by grace. Through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, he saved me through and by his grace. And by his grace, I walk. I need to walk in him. I need to be obedient to him. And so they not only observed his life in serving, but they observed his life in giving. Of giving, boy, he was giving of his life. Of course, the ultimate gift was he was nailed to a cross. He gave his life for in ransom for you and me. In redemption, he shed his blood on Calvary's cross. He gave his love. He gave his life because he loved us. Yeah, I don't know how many of you saw some years ago Private Ryan, Saving Private Ryan. I still remember that this guy, the captain, the guy that came out on Forrest Gump, Hanks, Tom Hanks. He was the captain of this platoon, and he was looking for this guy. That, you know, a couple had three boys that had already gotten killed, and one guy still was out there. The government said, you know what, it's not right that this family has given three of their sons, or two or three of their sons, and we have one out there, and we need to go save this guy and bring him back home. So the whole platoon, the whole focus of, upon that platoon that they had was to go save Private Ryan. And as they were fighting there, the captain was sitting there. He was wounded. And he said, Private Ryan, do me a favor. You know, if you make it out of this, if we both make it, or even if I don't make it, but if you make it, do me a favor. Would you live a life worthy of the sacrifice that these men have made to save you? And boy, that impacted me, that just that, what they said that. Because you know what? That's exactly what we need to do. We need to live a life in this world worthy of the sacrifice that Jesus made on Calvary's cross for our sins. Can you live? Are you willing? Now, you can't do it. I can't do it with our strength, with our flesh. We can't do it. You know why? Because we wrestle. We battle against the world, the things of the world. And we battle against our own flesh. We battle against our own desires. We even battle against how we do things for God. You know, folks, you can't do anything for him. You can't impress him. I found out in my life, Brother David, that I can't impress Jesus. I can say, oh, Lord, I did this. Ooh, I'm going to make something here. I'm going to make this pulpit, and I'm going to do this. And I'm going to say, oh, for the honor and glory of God, I made this for Jesus. Like if God's going to say, wow, I've never seen a pulpit like that before. Wow. No, that was just a good idea I had, but he never, number one, he never told me to do it. Number two, he never motivated me to do it. I just did it because it was a good idea. And there's a lot of folks, there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians. You do a lot of things because they're good ideas, good stuff. And then you say, for the honor and glory of God, when we ought to be doing what he calls us to do in his will, and know what God desires for us. The closer we walk with him, the more we know his will. The more obedient we become to follow his word. And so his giving of his life. And so in the giving of his life, also not only giving of our life to serve others, but also giving of what we have. You know, whatever what we have, in giving of our tithes and our offerings, you know, I often see how churches, you know, they receive the offering. Not so much how many people give as much as the attitudes that we might have about giving. What is the attitude we have about giving? The Lord says, with the same measure that you give, I'm going to give to you with the same measure. With the same measure, I believe it's in Luke. With the same measure. How many of you have seen a tape measure? I think everybody has. Una cinta de medir. You have a tape measure? Okay. Look, with the same measure, if you give like this, with the measure, like that, God says, okay, I'm going to meet that. Mira. Okay. Si tú das así, give like that, God says, okay, I'm going to meet that. With the same measure, I'm going to give you. If you give like this, he'll meet that. If you give it like this, shoo. God says, wow, shoo. He'll meet that. And you know what he does with it? It's like a cycle that comes all the way around. You give, shoo. God says, I'll meet that. Shoo. And it comes all the way around. And it gives it right back to you. Shoo, so you can give some more. Shoo. Sound effects and all. But if you give like this, no me vaya a faltar. Oh, I can't give too much because if you give it like this, the Lord says, okay, I'll meet that. You want to give that way? Okay. Mira, you want to give that way? Okay. He learned to give. He learned to give not only to humanity, But he gave his life in ransom for many, for you and for me. And so discipleship means submitting, to submit under his lordship. He is Lord. He is Lord of all. He loves us. He is Lord. He is Lord of all. We can outgive him in any way. The disciples learned the spirit of giving. Now watch this. Discipleship, it is taught. Where discipleship can be good for the good, or it could be good for the bad. I remember one of my best friends, and I don't say this to impress you, because nowadays it won't impress anyone. But I remember the first time I took this is my best friend. I was about 13, 14 years old. The guy says, mira, Rolando, let me tell you something, man. And he said in Spanish, aquí está la grifa, mira, aquí le pones right here, here's a little piece of paper, mira, aquí le pones aquí la marihuana, aquí le pones, here you put some pot right here, you do it like this, and then you take a drag like that. This, he taught me, I was discipled by him. And then he said, look, take your belt off, put it right here, you find a little vein that comes over here, and now this is what's called a fix. See, I was discipled. Now watch this. This is discipleship. Would you put that? See, this is discipleship right there. See, that's discipleship. You see? See, somebody is teaching somebody how to take a fix. That's discipleship. When somebody gives their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to immediately begin to share with that person, look, this is the Word of God. This is the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. See, these people take all their time. They took all their time with me, telling me, look, this is the way you do it. They took all their time. We don't do that when somebody comes to know Christ. We don't do that. To say, look, this is the way that you serve the Lord. He is our Lord. Let me share with you piece by piece in the process. I surely desire for you to be part of a small group. Now listen, when a person comes, and I do this, brother, I have trouble with my eyesight, but a person who gives their life to Christ, listen, never say this. We used to say it because it was a right thing to say, supposedly. I don't want you to come to my church. I just want you to know Christ. No, I want you to come to my church. But let me tell you something. More than that, I want you to be connected to my house because I have a small group. I want you to come there. And then I will lead them, without telling them, I'll lead them to the church building. Why? Because I want them to be part of a church that sings about the love of Jesus, that sings about the triune God, that promotes the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, that teaches the Word of God, that preaches the Word of God. So I'm going to encaminarte. I'm going to help you as a couple to be part of this congregation. But the way I'm going to do it, I want you to be part of a small group in my house, because I'm going to share with you about the Lord Jesus and what you're in maturity and to grow in the Lord. And then solitos, brother, by themselves, they'll follow you to the church. But if they gave their life to Christ, oh, I don't want you to come to my church. No, I want you to come to my church. See, but I'm not going to tell them that we're encaminar ahí. God is going to lead them through your life and my life to come to the church. So, hey, folks, not every church is a disciple-making church. I remember back in 1994, we started a church in San Antonio. And I told my leadership, Brother David, I said, look, I want you to go to every church around the area and see what they're doing. And then bring it back, and we're going to kind of compare notes what they're doing. Some guy said, man, wow, we went to this church over here. Boy, they've got a great praise team. And over here, oh, man, they have something over here. They have a playground for the kids. These people have this. People have that. And then one guy said something very interesting. He said, brother, I went to every one of them, and everybody, I mean, we're all here trying to find out what everybody was doing good. They're doing a lot of things good. But let me tell you something. all six churches around the area where we are, not one is a disciple-making church. And I said, you know what? We're going to start a disciple-making church. This is what we're going to be about. And when people said, well, we don't go to church, brother, because y'all don't have this, y'all don't have the bells, y'all don't have the whistles, y'all don't have all this stuff that other churches. And I would say, fine, then you need to go over there. Whenever you get tired, whenever you get tired of being a tourist, then come back and see us. Because we're about what? We're about discipleship. And just up front. I mean, it's better to be honest with you. Say, fine, if you have this and you want this and you want all this other stuff and bells and whistles and all that good stuff, great. Then I'm going to tell you that over here there's a church that can meet those needs. But whenever you get tired about all the little bells and whistles and you want to get into the Word of God and want to be discipled, then you come and see our church because I'm going to lead you the way it is. Look, in the church where I'm a pastor now, we have what's called teams, not committees. We have teams. We have a committee, about seven women that were prostitutes. And we have about 12 guys, 12 or 13 guys that were ex-drug addicts. And people come, say, Brother Lopez, let me tell you, man, nobody understands me because y'all are religious people. Y'all don't understand me. I said, really? Okay, if I don't understand you, I'm going to send you 12 guys over here. This guy over here has been about 13 years in penitentiary. This guy over here, Tawa in San Quentin. This guy, Tuwakai in Huntsville. Orale, you tell them that they don't understand you, mister. And here's a prostitute. We don't understand you as a prostitute? Let me tell you something. Connect with these people. So everybody has a story. And you know what we teach? Discipleship, how to submit to God. So everybody, go take your tourist. Be a tourist, wherever you want to go. But whenever you want discipleship, was it Kentucky Fried Chicken some years ago had a motto that said, we do chicken right. They didn't sell anything else but chicken. We need to have churches that do discipleship right. And we're going to take you and we're going to help you in the process. Now, if you're not ready for it, then fine. Then come back and see us some other time. Whenever you are ready. You can be a member of the church, but when you're ready to be a disciple, then come see us. And you put them into a program to detox. And the only way you detox, brethren, is to get into the Word of God and memorize the Word of God and live the Word of God. You begin to detox. Your disciple will always do more than you. Your disciple will always do more than you. If you read the Bible, if you read one chapter, your disciple is going to read one or two chapters, three chapters. He'll always do more than you. If you pray 1 hour, if you come to pray 30 minutes, he's not going to pray 30 minutes. He's going to pray 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. You know why? Because your disciple will always do more than you. Whether for good or bad, your disciple will always do more than you. If you go to R-rated movie, he's not going to go to R-rated movie. He's going to go to X-rated movie. You know why? Because your disciple will always do more than you. If you go to bed, if you don't have any disciplines in your life and you go to bed at 1 or 2, 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday and you can't get up for church, your disciple, you know what he's going to do? He's not going to get up at 2, 3 o'clock like you do. He's going to get up at 6. You know why? Because that's your disciple. For good or for the bad, your disciple will always do more than you. And your best disciples are your children or your wife. Now, my question to you today, do you want to be a member or do you want to be a disciple? So I'm going to open up the altar here very briefly, and you just come, and you say to the Lord, Father God, I'm tired of being a member. I want to truly be a disciple. I want to connect with a small group in my church, and I want to be part of that small group so I might learn to grow and begin to exercise my spiritual muscles. So in the name of Jesus, let us pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you do in our lives. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because you desire us to be disciples, people of the kingdom of light. Heavenly Father, I pray it is my prayer today, God, that you just move in such a way that your people might respond to your word. If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior and someone has invited you here, my friend, I'm asking you, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior right now, that you say this prayer with me, there in silence, just say, Heavenly Father, I repent for my sins, and by faith I receive your Son, Jesus Christ, to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, of my sins. With my mouth I confess the Lord Jesus Christ, and with my heart I believe unto righteousness. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for forgiving me and for giving me a new life in Christ. Now help me, Lord Jesus, to grow in you and to be a true disciple of yours. In Jesus' precious name I pray. If you said that prayer with me, would you just raise your hand right now? If you said that prayer with me, would you just raise your hand? If you've never received the Lord, but today you've said that prayer with me with all your heart, with all your soul, you said that prayer, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand and put it down. There'll be someone. Okay, invitation number two. Then I'm going to ask you, my brother, my sister, would you all stand? Everybody's standing right now. And as you're standing, you may want to come and you may want to stand right here because I want to have a word of prayer with you. And by you coming, you're saying to the Lord, you're saying, Lord Jesus, I really desire for you to be my Lord. I want to be your disciple. Would you come right now and just stand right here and join me in this prayer? You come in the name of the Lord. You come. Lord Jesus, here's my life. Everything else is secondary. Everything is secondary from now on. Everything, I'm giving my life. I'm giving my life. I'm standing here on holy ground, Lord, before your presence. I desire to be a disciple of yours. Whatever it's going to take, I want to be a disciple. I want you, Lord, I want you more than anything else in the world. I thirst for righteousness. I thirst for God. I thirst for the person of Holy Spirit in my life to give him my life, to give him my heart, to give him every place in my heart I give unto the Lord.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.